It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails and blog comments. We got a number of passionate responses to our conversation with Zariah Miller, the photojournalist who published a picture that captured the bloody aftermath of a suicide bomb in Iraq that killed, among others, three members of the Marine Corps. He's been kicked out of his embed and banned from parts of Iraq. But he has the support of Kate McKiernan, a listener in California. As a friend and family member of service members, all of whom were lucky enough to come home from the war, I believe it's a disservice to those we lose in combat not to post pictures such as these. These are men and women giving their lives in this struggle, and to ignore this loss is insulting. It's vital that we understand what it is we're giving up in this war. Another listener disagreed. I was in Vietnam for 7.5 years. If it was up to me, I would have thrown out every single reporter. Their desire to report the worst, in their minds the truth, is disgusting, self-defeating for the country, and in simple, bad taste. When will we understand that full color coverage is not necessary in war? It is a nasty, fruitless business that requires it be finished as quickly as possible. It does not need to be in our nation's face on the 5 o'clock news. That from Philip Quigley in Arizona. We also spent some time last week talking about the lighter side of politics. Two comedy writers weighed in on whether or not comedy influences politics or just reflects what people already think. Late night comedy obviously had an effect on Sarah Bonner, a listener in Oklahoma City. I'm 27 years old, and I have to admit that I do not know what Ross Perot actually looks like. I was in my early teen years when he ran for president, and in my memory, I can't decipher his image from the image of Dana Carvey portraying him on Saturday Night Live. And while Dana Carvey impersonated Perot and George H.W. Bush, among others, on SNL, he was not in the Janet Reno's dance party skit, as I stated. As Michelle Ryan pointed out in an email, that was Will Ferrell, at least until Janet Reno herself made a surprise cameo appearance on the program. And finally, we kicked off our summer movie series on Thursday with some of your favorite wedding films. Muriel's Wedding, Princess Bride, My Best Friend's Wedding, The Philadelphia Story all got votes. Dee O'Neill emailed to complain that we forgot one. I didn't hear anybody mention Spaceballs, which opens with King Roland of Druidia marrying off his daughter, Princess Vespa, to Prince Valium. The bride's droid of honor, Dot Matrix, was voiced by Joan Rivers. The movie ends with a revisiting of the wedding scene, except this time it goes a bit differently. Prince Lone Star interrupts and marries Princess Vespa instead of allowing her to marry Prince Valium. Did I mention this was a Mel Brooks movie? Maybe there should be no doubt. We'll continue the Summer Movie Festival this week with nuclear films, Dr. Strangelove, War Games, The Hunt for Red October. Nominate your favorite nuke flick and give us a brief reason why. The email address is talk@npr.org. Then join us on Thursday for the results. If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, David Gura, Enrique Rivera, Dahlia Martinez, and Barry Hardiman. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Beth Novi produces our web content, and our intern is Elizabeth Anderson. Gwen Uten directs the program. The associate producer is Sarah Handel. Drew Reynolds is our technical director. He gets engineering help from Nathan Bark and Dennis Nielsen. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Our supervising senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. Richard L. Harris is NPR's director of afternoon programming. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.